The reason your Facebook ads don't work, or any ads, mine, everyone's, is always because of the content. The content is the variable of success.
This portion is like with me, so I think this is when you need to get selfish. Like, you need to ask your question. Hiring is guessing, firing is knowing. Like, you gotta go fast. That's how you get shit done, that's how you figure stuff out.
This is the television, and the television is the radio.
So 4Ds, motherfuckers.
Cool. Naomi, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, certainly. So my name's Naomi. I'm the marketing manager for the Verity Salon Group and the Aveda Institute Winnipeg. I take care of our top line marketing strategy, all of our paid advertising, social strategy, all of that good stuff. So I also manage a small team of two people in our marketing department, and we pretty much take care of every digital aspect of the business.
And fun fact that I learned today, Naomi is actually at our company because of some advice that you gave to Roberto back in 2019. So I'm sure we'll have that as a talking point in a little bit. But Colleen, why don't you get into your background a little bit and what you do for the company?
Yeah, so I'm Colleen. I'm the Director of Education and Business Development for the Verity Salon Group. I've also educated at the Aveda Institute before. I've educated for other hair product lines as well. And I helped Rob kind of right from the beginning. He doesn't know how to do hair. I think he went to hair school for a few minutes, but so I've been there to help him out with all the things that he needs. And yeah, we've been a team throughout this. So
it's awesome.
And Roberta, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, Scary, thanks so much for your time today. I know you're launching Series 2. I'm a huge fan. I've got I got 4 V Friends 1, and I'm waiting for the drop. That stupid game you just put out has just got me locked in right now, and I'm not paying attention to Jeff too much. But it's a lot of fun. Thanks for taking this time today. So opened up the business back in 2017 with some help from Nick and a government grant that we got. I was able to attend 4Ds in 2019. Hired Naomi right after that event, and it changed a lot for me. It really put a lot of things in a different perspective for me, opened my eyes to new opportunity. Couple tips that you gave me before I left, we implemented, and it's done a lot for our business. And I just wanted to have this opportunity right now to have Naomi and Colleen experience that as well. We're going to be coming down to New York in June. And just that whole experience too was really good for me. So I'm really looking forward to them experiencing it as well. We're at a place now where we have expanded. So we opened our second salon. This is something that we talked about when I was at 4Ds. We opened our second salon. We also acquired a hair school. And the two work really close together. So the hair school feeds the hair salons, gives us the opportunity to scale our businesses and whatnot. And we're kind of at a place now where, you know, when I came back to 4Ds back in 2019, we're on the verge or just on that doorstep of taking our next step to expand our business. And we feel like we're back there again now. And, you know, there's this marketing piece is going to be huge for us. Joe and the team and ourselves here talked about some of the things that we're thinking of implementing. We're going to run some of those by you and just get your take on it.
I totally understand, and I'm so happy to be here with you three.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So one of the things that got me fired up was not only that, you know, he's a second time guest of ours, but the team is interested in building out a podcast. And we got to talking a little bit about how we use podcasts strategically or episodic content strategically throughout the VaynerX organization, whether it's marketing for the now or your podcast experience or what we're doing with Building While Flying, where we really go out and we find the guests that we want to become our customers or our next employees or something like that. So Rob, why don't you go ahead and launch in a little bit to kind of what you were thinking about in terms of a podcast, and maybe we can jam a little bit on seeing if we can enhance it, make it better, help you roll it out.
Yeah, I'll speak very top line, then Naomi can speak further to it. But the idea is, you know, I think there's two people that we're marketing to. We're marketing to our guests that come into the salon to get their hair done and buy our product. But then there's also other salons and our brand Aveda that we're a part of that we want to market to position ourselves as leaders within the industry. That'll do very well for us with Aveda down the road as eventually I want to get to the point where we're going to be distributing Aveda for Canada. And further to that, being able to position ourselves as professionals or leaders in the industry to salons so that we can attract some of their senior talent as well to come work with us. Something that really is going to help the wheel continue to move. And I think, you know, the idea of being able to interview people and really highlight who they are, And then as well, sure, our expertise would work really well, but I'll let Naomi maybe get a little bit further into that.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that's really interesting about the beauty industry is that there's a lot of kind of like old school thought. Like there's a lot of salon owners who are just getting to the point where they realize that they have to post on Instagram consistently. So a lot of the marketing in the beauty industry is very old school because a lot of salon owners are hairstylists. They don't necessarily have a business background or a marketing background. So I think that establishing our brand and really establishing ourselves within the broader salon network will do us a lot of good, as Rob just mentioned. And I think that diving a little bit deeper, more so into like the business side of beauty, as far as operations goes, as far as marketing goes, as far as, you know, the takeaways and learning we've done through scaling our business, opening a second location. I think we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of expertise that we can potentially share with others in the industry. And I think that that would be probably my main focus in putting together a podcast.
And all for people to do what?
So the idea would be is really sharing our expertise on the business side to then gain. We want to be the forerunners within our industry to be able to speak to all these, all the business side domains, so that it puts us in a position to attract more talent and also in a position with Aveda to show that we're the forerunners within our own country, to have them build a trust with them, then further do business with them down the road.
When you say the Betas?
Sorry, Aveda. Aveda is the brand, the hair brand, the hair company brand.
Got it.
So they're owned by Estee Lauder. They're out of Minneapolis. And at one time there was a distribution in Canada, which they bought back. It's proving that it doesn't work very well for them to run it out of the US and Canada. And we want to be able to position ourselves down the road to be the forerunners to say, these guys know what they're talking about. We should go a little bit further with them and start talking distribution.
That's the KPI of the business leadership. Understood. I would run LinkedIn ads of clips from the podcast against the employees that work at the highest levels of Aveda.
So when it comes to creating the content on the podcast, what's the best form to do that? Is interviewing the best way to do that, or?
Interviewing, you making pretend that you're the B2B magazine of the industry. Like one of the reasons I do well is when I make content, I make content. There's never a moment in the last 15 years, including Wine Library TV, where I would review wines that we had a lot of and I would pan them, which was fucking insane. My dad literally lost his mind. The first year, my dad literally was like, look, you are a wild dude and everything you do is right, but this one can't be right. I'm like, it's right. He's like, no, you're wrong. Here it is. We were selling 30 cases a week of this wine. You put it on the show. You said it sucked shit. And now we sell 4 bottles a week. You were wrong. I'm like, look at our overall business. They're not going to buy that because it does suck shit. Look what they're buying. So what you do is you interview people, but every time you interview people, every selfish want and need that you want from Aveda executives, kids to go to the school, employees from your competitors to join you, every one of those things that are running through your mind, you never act on them. You act as if you left this business and are now hosting a B2B show for the industry and you're trying to get the best ratings on Sirius Radio. You do that, and your subconscious will still make you go a little bit to the business side. Naomi will find those moments. We clip them. We link to the full podcast. And you run ads against people in your industry. And very, very quickly, 6 months to a year, it fucking matters.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Is there a lot of that going on, Garrett, with marketing from the Now is a different beast, but there's so many people across.
100% why we do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's 100%, not even 99.
Yeah, that was an eye opener when Joe mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did not want to do that today for 30 minutes. This launch is pissing me off and I got a lot going on, but you know, we're doing that because A, we don't do business with Everlane CMO, you know, and that's an opportunity. But B, one moment, 1 second is the right clip on LinkedIn. We run $1,000 worth of ads against CMOs and two people decide to reach out to VaynerX and want to do business.
That's cool.
So there's two other kind of themes, Gary, that I think we can
get. That being said, the reason I said 6 months to a year is that's 15 years of me putting out content at scale and being historically correct that gives us that level of conversion. It's going to take, you know, what's nice though, is your industry so niche and no one's doing anything like it that it'll take 6 months to a year. But you know this, you don't need a lot to happen for it to be a real good use of your time and money. And there's going to be 14 things that happen that you have no idea, nor do I. A local newscaster thinks it's interesting. The paper has a slow week and they just want to do a profile on a business person. An executive you never thought you could afford to get is burnt out at, you know, Procter & Gamble and his husband and wife is moving to your part of the woods. And they're like, fuck it, this is creative and interesting. I don't care that I have to make, you know, more than half my salary. I'm towards the tail end of my career. I'm moving to this middle of nowhere place compared to being in, you know, Unilever in New York City. I'm going to reach out to these people and this guy and see if he wants to do stuff. Like, it leads to so much.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of those things that we implemented after we came back from 4Ds wasn't the actual result from what we implemented. It was all the synergies that happened afterwards from it. So that was cool. Cool. Joe, we were going to jump
On the B2C side, where are you with TikTok?
Great question. So I definitely know we need to be utilizing it more. We post about once a day, which I know is not the best way to utilize it.
By the way, one a day still has me like, literally with the way you reacted, I'm like, literally, I thought the word week was going to come out instead of day. One a day is already a huge accomplishment, just to give the three of you context.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's content that we take and we put it anywhere that vertical video makes sense. So we're really maximizing what we're putting out across platforms. And we just have
Are you making TikToks or not really?
I would say we're making TikToks. I definitely have found that, you know, more polished content does better on other platforms, whereas TikTok, you know, even if you're running an ad, if you're doing organic, it's got to be a TikTok. So right. That's definitely something I've learned over the last like year or so of making content on that platform. So that's something that's really critical.
You sense that there's opportunity there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I even just got some very good information from the conversation we just had with Jeff as well. So
they did just launch, or during the pandemic, they launched that DTC product, Gary, that could fit into their strategy for social media. It's kind of in various different conversations we've had from a retail perspective, you typically go in on like, you got to white label something so that you can kind of maximize your margins and have a product that consumers can latch on and really start to own the game. So Rob, why don't you talk a little bit about the at-home product you guys created? Maybe that's something we can sink our teeth into in terms of talking to consumers.
Yeah, for sure. Just based on the TikTok conversation for a second, they laughed at me, Gary. I was talking TikTok when you were talking about it and they were laughing at me, but it's done very well for us. And we've seen actually through the school side, the majority of our leads are coming through TikTok. So I guess one of the questions too that we can throw in is, how do we double down, create the content? We're a team of three between three businesses. How do we double down, create the content so that we've got enough for TikTok, but then again, enough for everything else?
Make less profit.
Say it again.
Make less profit.
Alluding to?
Hire another person.
Okay. Well, that was the advice you gave me the first time.
I love that I'm so consistent.
Consistent 3 years later.
But the good news is it's a dream job for, without knowing laws of like for a 16 to 22 year old that's interested in this subject matter, it's a dream job to make two TikToks a day.
Got it.
You could also hire someone to just search locally or not locally for influencers and try to get good deals on people. It's a lot of hand-to-hand combat, DMing them this, that, the other thing, but it's a great arbitrage.
I have a quick question to you, Gary. What's the best way to find the people you want to hire as content creators to just know, like, oh, they're amazing at what they do?
Search hashtags on TikTok in your subject matter. Find people that you subjectively, the three of you, like, who don't have a lot of followers, and DM them and say, do you want a job? So you find someone that you three are like, wow, that was a good hair video or whatever, right? It doesn't even have to be a hair. You could literally be like, wow, that was a good eggs video and she has great hair. Like, you could play this a couple different ways. And then you're like, oh, she only has 700 followers.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
And this can be done remote, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many people in college right now are having TikToks go viral. Like, to Gary's point, it's a dream job. If you're in college, you can make side money making TikToks. Forget about it. That's awesome. That didn't exist when I was in college.
And even better, the year before college or the year after, even more interesting, like different option psychology that I like a lot.
For sure.
Are you talking Verde at Home?
Yeah. Sorry, Verde at Home. So our direct to consumer. So this is something that we developed.
I apologize because I want to get this down in my head. Verde is a brand that's owned by them, right?
No. So Verde is our brand. Aveda is the brand that's
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank
right?
you.
Right. So we sell it.
Enough, dyslexic enough that I got confused.
Got it. So we sell it. It's our school is an Aveda school. So we have, like, it's not a franchise, but if we're allowed to be an Aveda school contractually, and our brand is Verde, which is the salon, and we sell Aveda in the salon and use their hair color. So over the pandemic, exclusively, yeah.
And is that kind of the punchline to be a school?
Yeah.
And that's because they're feeding, the brand is strong enough and they're helping feed, or the brand is helping close, and that's why you make that deal.
No different than
a franchise. I understand.
Big point of difference for us. And as of June, we'll be the only Aveda Institute in Canada. So we'll be able to market ourselves as Aveda Institute Canada.
And for emerging hairstylists or even current ones, that brand carries that level of weight.
It does. Yeah, that's awesome. It does.
And now Verde is your product, your private label product.
That's right.
And is that Aveda inside or something else?
Well, we carry Aveda products inside. So we sell exclusively Aveda products.
Inside the Verde juice, the formula.
The DTC product
you guys have. It's Aveda.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So
has anybody ever done a good job enough with building a private label in their ecosystem that they got upset about it?
No. No. As a matter of fact, they asked us about it. They were interested in, you know, we had one of their international educators come to the salon to do a class. They heard about the product that we'd put out, Verde at Home, and they were actually asking us to help them, you know,
because put some of the thought to it. The at home part, right?
That's right.
Different than just sitting on the shelf. That's where you innovate.
That's right.
Understood.
That's right.
And so that's DTC. So, and does that come with, like, is that just a pure DTC, or is there a level of, like, you guys handholding and helping people because you have school DNA?
I don't understand the question. I'm sorry.
So one thing I've always been fascinated with DTC products is the level of scaling virtual handholding and experience, not just getting the product.
Yes. So there was an aspect of that we thought was one of our points of difference, which is you can buy the product, we can ship it to you. But before that even happens, you can have a virtual consultation with an actual hairstylist without guessing.
And?
Right.
Did that work? Is that good? Like, people like that?
During the pandemic, it worked. But then once we opened again and then brick and mortar became a thing again, it completely died out.
Oh,
and we think it's a good, right? So we think it's a good product. There's definitely a market in it because it's a $1 billion industry, home color, you know, buying home color, big difference in price point.
It obviously exploded because of COVID. So it still might be a nice base. And to your point, if you run ads against different income levels or figure out how to target the right people, there's still a big industry there.
There should be. And this is the part we haven't been able to crack, because post-COVID, we were marketing to our guests who were buying it throughout the pandemic.
The problem is those guests already have the context of people wanting to be, that are willing to pay the extra to be a guest. You need a whole new consumer.
So that's the direction we went in afterwards, but we couldn't crack it.
Yeah. Have you been running Facebook ads?
Facebook, Instagram, yeah.
What about TikTok?
Not on TikTok.
And is Facebook challenging because you can't remarket and the iOS 15 and all that cooking stuff?
Yeah.
And because creative is the variables. So let me tell you what you should do. You should make TikToks that are about the with the product, make at least two more of them. So I need you to make four TikToks a day. So you're gonna have to figure this out, Roberto. Like, let's play it out though. Two of those I think are for Verde, all organic, different value props, right? Like you gotta be very creative. Like Naomi, the video's gotta have like four Tim Hortons coffees there, like the expensive ones, and say, you can afford these now because you're using Verde at home and not going to the, like, you gotta like really be clever around the value proposition. Like, you know, like you almost have to go outside. You know how on TikTok there's that guy that comes up to people with expensive cars? You almost have to like do videos where like, these are people drive this when they go to the salon. And obviously you have to be careful because you have a salon business. So you have to be thoughtful, but bottom line is do TikTok ads to build the brand. When it goes viral, you turn it into a performance DTC ad. So you take the essence of the ad and you tweak the wording, you add the call to action.
Yeah.
You run that as a TikTok ad and as a LinkedIn, as a Instagram and Facebook ad, because it's been proven that humans are interested in the content. Yeah. The reason your Facebook ads don't work, or any ads, mine, everyone's, is always because of the content. The content is the variable of success. Right? It's the substance. Like, you know, the reason people don't marry each other after a date is the date didn't go well, but you got to the date, right? Same with advertising, right? Like your Facebook and Instagram's right. It's just the content wasn't right for that instance. TikTok is so built on people's interest that you know there's people that are interested. Then you just scale it by running ads on all three platforms. Use your knowledge, how platforms are slightly different. You might use different words. You might play, right? The slang is different for TikTok where it's young versus Facebook where it's older, but you still get the essence of the content. This is why making four TikToks a day is everything, because you're getting the consumer insights.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes total sense. The other thing I had a question about in regards to that is the level of customizability, because we thought that that was a major point of difference, obviously, with the consultation and all of those additional pieces. But what we found was that when, you know, a lot of people expressed interest, clicked through, got to the landing page, but then didn't take the step of booking a consultation, people seem to just want to purchase the item and then have it be done.
During COVID when it was working or now?
Both, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got to run creative ads that play up the consultation. What was happening before was, I mean,
yeah.
Right? Like, hey, like I was on a girl's marketing Zoom with like all the CMO mafia ladies that I'm friends with in their 50s and 60s. And we were doing wine one night in COVID 4 months in. And the first 45 minutes was hair coloring. They were just making fun of me every 5 minutes. Like, are you bored yet, Gary? I'm like, no, I'm graying. I might have to do that too. Like, you know, we're having some fun. It was just the culture, right? That culture is over, to your point. So you're going to have to find the people that are actually interested in it by running ads that feature that value prop.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're just going to need more at bats on TikTok. That is going to be the punchline of this conversation. That is the big breakthrough right now.
And there's a 99% chance that after they're done coloring their hair with your product, they're going to post it to TikTok or Instagram anyway. So maybe there's a way you can incentivize them somehow. Give me your TikTok address just so I can see you posting the product or something like that. Just figure out a way to get their social data so you can kind of plug in with them a little bit, comment on their stuff, you know, just engage with them.
Absolutely.
So posting more content on TikTok is going to give us the insight then as to what's going to work and what's not going to work.